Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Special in-store questioners today are Bert and Anitra Perez, our regulars on our show. And our special guest via phone is Dr. Emerson Eggerich. He is obviously the author of Love and Respect. Many hundreds of thousands of Christians, not only throughout the country, but in the state of New Mexico, are really familiar with your work. Dr. Eggerich, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
I'm honored, Jim, and greetings to Bert and Nitra. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you're coming to Albuquerque on Friday, September 6th and Saturday the 7th at the Sagebrush Church. It's located at 6440 Coors Boulevard Northwest in Albuquerque for a Love and Respect conference. How can people get involved in registering for that conference?
Well, they can go on our website, loveandrespect.com, loveandrespect.com, and they can register there. And we would love for them to come. And we're looking forward to this two-day conference. It's Friday night and then half day in the morning on Saturday, half day on Saturday. My wife, Sarah, and I, we've been married since 1973. She also presents. So we're tickled to come to beautiful New Mexico.
Well, congratulations on being married that long. That's an amazing thing. And
we're going to win. We say we give out a door prize for those who are married the longest. We think eventually we're going to win our own prize.
You're going to win your own prize. Well, that's really neat. Well, let's start off and ask you some questions. You've written many books. I'm going to name a few of them just for our listeners. You've obviously written Love and Respect, The Language of Love and Respect, The Four Wills of God, the subtitle being The Way He Directs Our Steps and Frees Us to Direct Our Own, Cracking the Communication Code, and Before You Hit Send. Now, I'm not familiar with the other books, but I've actually gone through, in first time, frankly, coerced through Love and Respect. And Dr. Eggerich, a little bit of background. Bert and Anitra have been married 20 years. Around year 10, they were at a crisis point, both having had affairs, and they decided that they really loved each other. They got involved with a lot of things, family life, radio, and Weekends to Remember, your book, Love and Respect, and they made a decision that they wanted to love each other, respect each other, stay together. I, on the other hand, I was married for 27 years and had a failed marriage. And frankly, I can point the finger at myself and tell you all the ways I did not love my wife. So it's amazing to read what you have written, and we're so glad that you're here. The first question I have is very simply, a man loving his wife seems so simple, and a woman respecting her husband. Why is this so hard to do?
Well, that's an excellent question, and that comes out of Ephesians 5:33, where a husband is commanded to love and a wife is commanded to respect. Mm-hmm. And the first part, there hasn't been a lot of debate, but the idea of respecting a man, that receives kind of a negative response. You know, I don't feel respect for him. He's not superior to me. I'm not inferior to him. It would be hypocritical for me to do something that I don't feel. I'm not going to return to male patriarchy. I'm not going to give him license to do what he wants to do. I certainly am not going to subject myself to emotional abuse. I'm not going to feed his narcissism. But other than these things, Dr. Emerson, I'm really open to hearing what you have to say about this.
Right.
So what we're up against is a culture that says that respect must be earned. And of course, most women are nurturers by nature, and they love to love. And so the hurt in their hearts is that their husband is not loving them as much as they are loving their husbands. And so they point out that he's not as loving as he ought to be. And plus, they do it in a way that can feel disrespectful to him. And what happens then is this gives birth to what I call the crazy cycle. And this happens among people of goodwill. You know, when I married Sarah in 1973, before I proposed, I didn't say to her, you know, Sarah, I hate you and you hate me, so let's get married. You know, it doesn't happen that way. So how do we get derailed? I believe it's two good-willed people who end up having these honest misunderstandings, and they get on what I refer to as this crazy cycle. Because when a wife feels unloved, she has a tendency to react in a way that feels disrespectful to him. When he feels disrespected, he tends to react in a way that feels unloving to her. And this starts to spin. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, without love. And it can get out of control among people of goodwill. And we quickly insert, women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T, and men need L-O-V-E. But we've asked 7,000 people this question. when you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel unloved at that moment or disrespected? Jim, 83% of the men say they feel disrespected.
Wow.
And that makes perfect sense because women love to love. And most men know, my wife loves me. She just doesn't like me, yep, and she doesn't have respect for me. In fact, she told me that she loves me but doesn't feel any respect for me. But she sees that as a marginal issue, and sometimes she'll say it, and she doesn't mean it, and she kind of expects him to know she doesn't really mean it. She's trying to get a message through that she's hurting, but he personalizes that far more. And on the other side, 72% of the women say they feel unloved. So if you think bell curve, we would all say we need love and respect equally, but I always appeal to the people listening. The felt need tends to be what I just said. He leans toward the respect side, she leans toward the love side. And if you are in that area, then in all likelihood, you're going to get on what I just referred to as the crazy cycle, and it can spin. And here's the deal. He's not trying to be unloving. In many instances, he's just feeling disrespected, so he goes quiet. He withdraws. He's not thinking I'm going to be unloving. He's saying, I can't believe that she disrespects. Nobody disrespects me like she does. And when she reacts in this disrespectful way, that's not her mission. Her mission is to try to get him to understand her heart. So we end up defensively reacting in ways that offend the other person. And that's where we get derailed because neither one of us have evil will. We're not ill-willed. We didn't marry Hitler's distant cousin. But we start spinning on this crazy cycle and we don't know how to get off of it. We don't even know really kind of what's going on. Or he says to her, quit feeling unloved. Or she says to him, quit feeling disrespected. And so our vulnerability that each of us has is kind of dismissed by the other person. And so people can get really confused really quick in their relationship. And they think, I made a mistake here, mm-hmm, or I didn't sign up for this, or why mm-hmm can't we get along? And it's because they haven't been given a little information, a little knowledge, and a little skill on how to decode the crazy cycle and how to jump off of it. And that's what we're going to be addressing at our 2-day conference.
Well, Dr. Emerson Eggerichs on the phone with us here this afternoon on ABQ Connect. He is going to be in Albuquerque with his wife, Sarah, on Friday, September 6th and Saturday the 7th for a Love and Respect Conference to be held at Sagebrush Church down at 6440 Coors Boulevard. If you want to get information about the seminar, you can go to loveandrespect.com, their website, and sign up for it. It's going to be a neat 2-day event. We're going to be back with more from Dr. Eggerichs right after these messages. Stay with us here on KNKT.
Mark your calendar for the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home Annual Barbecue, Saturday, August 10th from 11 to 2. Tour the cottages, meet the house parents, and enjoy great food. The GTO Car Club, activities for the kids, and live music from Vintage. The Albuquerque Christian Children's Home Annual Barbecue, August 10th. Tickets and information at 898-5520 or acchkids.org. That's 898-5520 or acchkids.org.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acchforkids.org or call 898-5520.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is Voice of the Martyrs Radio. At just 8 years old, the little girl understood the gospel message. When her father was brutally murdered at the hands of radical Muslims, she said, "Mommy, if we can tell Daddy's killers about Jesus, then when they die and go to heaven, they can tell him they're sorry." Shemsa, whose husband was also killed in that attack, had also forgiven these men because she knew God had a plan for Turkey. "This isn't about death, it's about victory," says Shemsa. "Through my husband's death, many Muslims have come to life. They see the love of Jesus in our eyes instead of vengeance. May we too sow seeds of salvation by choosing to forgive."
"I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor would I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here from Band for King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show, and in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album, as well as many of your favorites, such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix My
Eyes. So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at forkeencountry.com.
Most people go to heaven after they die. But Dr. Tony Evans says in the Bible there were some exceptions. We'll hear one story from Genesis 5:24 as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God wants you, when you enter heaven, either through death or the rapture, he wants there to be a glorious entrance into heaven. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. So here he is walking with God. Walking with God means they had a close relationship. He lived to please the Lord, and he was doing it during the time of Noah, which was a decadent, evil time where the world had rejected God, but he did not acquiesce to the culture. He lived above the culture. He walked with God in the midst of a decaying culture, and he and God were so close that as he and God was walking, God said, Enoch, don't go back home. We're my home than your home. Let's keep going. There was natural transition into glory. And not only true in the Bible. Vaughn Bright, wife of Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, I was with her son. He said he was standing by her bedside with his brother. She was whispering something, as decaying with cancer. She was whispering something, but he couldn't understand it. So he got closer, turned to his brother. He said, you won't believe what mama just said. He said, she just said, it's hard trying to live in two places at one time. The Lord was so real to her in the transition. There was an abundant entrance.
You can have that same confidence when your time comes. To find out how, visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the Jesus link. It's a short video that explains everything, along with some free follow-up resources. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Bert and Anitra Perez. And we have on the phone Dr. Emerson Egrich. He is the author of Love and Respect and a few other books. He's going to be in town on September 6th and September 7th for the Love and Respect Conference at Sagebrush Church. You can go to loveandrespect.com and find out all the details about getting registered for that. And I will say, based on the number of people we've had calling the station after Bert and Anitra have talked about this book over the last 4 or 5 weeks, periodically sharing what they share with couples, there's going to be a lot of people at this conference, Dr. Emerson. It's going to be awesome. So appreciate you being here in Albuquerque and ministering to our community.
Oh, I'm excited about it. Thank you. And thank you, Bert. Thank you, Anitra. This is exciting for me to hear, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
We're excited to be here with you. And can't wait to see you in September.
So one of the things in your book that really hit home for me was your spouse isn't wrong. They're just different. And I think Bert and I have finally mastered this after going through this and teaching the study for 9 years now, is looking at each other with, you know, looking at Bert with respect, knowing that he's goodwill and he has a good heart and that he just communicates it in a different way. So a lot of our couples say communication is their problem, their number one problem. And when I've done surveys, communication always comes up. But we have found too, and this is what your book says, it's mutual understanding. Communication
yes.
is not the
it's
key.
The understanding.
It's understanding that they're good-willed and we just speak it differently. And if you can let your guard down and not constantly twist those words around from your husband, you know, well, you said it this way, so this is what it means. And I know I caught myself doing that. So that was a huge piece in your book that helped me.
Oh, that's outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. And I think, you know, the backdrop is that we know there's abuse out there. My dad attempted to strangle my mother to death. And, you know, over the years, you know, I've said, I'm not here to respond to all the individuals who are in abusive relationships. There are 10,000 shelters out there, and people can turn to that. My campaign has been with couples who have basic goodwill, as you and Bert, you had basic goodwill. And so in those instances, we're talking about the fact that we have these conflicts, Sarah and I do. Well, we get on what we call the crazy cycle every week. We both have subscribed that neither one of us are wrong. We're just different. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that technically we couldn't be wrong.
Right.
I'm not pointing out that we're always right about everything, but we're trying to communicate the spirit of this, which means that I look at things through the blue sunglasses. She looks at it through the pink. And when you put pink and blue together, that's purple, yes. The color of God. Husband and wife together reflect the image of God. Neither is God pink or blue in that sense. He's purple, and together he's brought two people who see things differently for the purpose of finding win-win solutions. But if I'm always telling Sarah, you're just wrong, rather than saying, honey, I think my idea is better, and I think yours is less better. You know,
it
really is a matter of coming to that point where it's less better. But the minute I say, you've got a bad idea, you're a bad person,
mm-hmm.
and that then escalates this thing way beyond what I think is appropriate, because we, to your point, are married to a person of goodwill. It doesn't mean they have all wisdom, but the minute we start labeling that person in that way, we put them on the defensive. So Sarah and I have tried to develop language to say, look, neither one of us are wrong here. We just differ with each other. Now let's continue to talk about it, but I'm not going to judge you as wrong. You're just different. Although I have had some couples say that we're not only different, we're also wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you're right. We're not always right, you know. Yeah, so my question to you, Dr. Emerson, was how does a wife express to her husband when something is bothering her?
What I believe is that just as a husband needs to communicate his need for respect in a way that feels loving to her as he communicates it, so too she needs to convey, let's say, her need to be reassured love. She needs to say that or express that in a way that feels respectful to him. That's why one of the things that we'll learn at the conference is that which I'm about to say going to sound loving to my wife? Is that which I'm about to say going to sound respectful to my husband? And at first we may think that's unfair, but what I've learned is if you just do that and act on that, I mean, it is amazing the power, the mm-hmm. influence, the motivation that we have, because they will respond to that far more favorably. Now, we'll also point out that truth carries its own weight. And I have this proclivity to up the ante, get harsh anger or whatever, that somehow that's going to cause Sarah to be much more teachable and responsive. But I cannot use unholy means to achieve worthy ends. I can't be unloving to motivate Sarah to be respectful, and she can't be disrespectful to motivate me to be loving. But we all have a tendency to do that. And in a conference, we're going to explain some very simple ways that we can begin to apply this. And it's stunning. And it may feel unfair that I'm the one that needs to do this, but it's just really an issue of, do you want the power or don't you? And this really has a tremendous influence. When Sarah comes to me in a way that sounds respectful, I soften and I connect with her. And when I come to her in a humble, loving way, she softens and responds to me. It just works. It's powerful.
Yes, it does.
And it is.
Amazing.
And it is. And that's one thing I've been able to notice whenever me and Anitra are kind of like, in that crazy cycle, it's like, I have to see the hurt and not get defensive.
Yeah, he's able to look past what I'm trying to bring to him. And I that's what I try and teach the wives that I mentor as well, is we got to go with a different approach when we are coming to our husbands. Instead of nagging and complaining, it come with that mindset of, hey, I care about this marriage and I want us to overcome this. So how can we communicate better instead of right away going at them with, you know, you're doing this again, you never do this. There's a certain way that we have to approach that. And you outlined that in Love and Respect,
yes.
Which is why we like Love and Respect. And we teach these courses because nothing's going to change unless you look at your behavior.
Yes, it's always your behavior.
With Love and Respect, you outline what wives need and what husbands need. So there's no pointing the finger. It's like, hey, God has given you certain commands and, you know, the wife commands and the husband commands. So it's an excellent study.
Dr. Edwards, I'm fascinated with kind of what I would call the chicken and the egg thing here. Both couples know that they could employ what you're talking about in your book. And obviously it has great power and great results. But who goes first? How do you talk one of the couples, one of the people in the couple to go first?
That is excellent, and I'm going to leave the listeners in suspense because we will answer that at the conference.
Nice.
It is absolutely foundational, and it is the question we all ask. Who moves first?
Yes.
And Jim, I want people to come and find the answer to that because I think it'll be very, very exciting to them and very, very encouraging to them. But I want to make a point back what Nitra was saying on this whole issue. And we don't have to be robotic. Sarah and I get upset with each other, mm-hmm. and I will say, I'm not trying to be unloving right now. You know, the family of origin stuff. I'm not trying to be unloving, but help me understand something here. You backed into the garage a third time, and you're costing me money. And so, too, if a wife says, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't know what this disrespectful is. I'm not trying to do that. I know you would die for me. You would literally die for me if I don't kill you first. But how do I do this? How do I say this in a way that you don't think I'm using this topic as another opportunity to send you a message that I want to diss you? And I believe that almost every man will start grinning at that point. And what we have to learn is you're not losing power, you're gaining power, and
yes.
you don't have to be unemotional about this. It's word choice. It's speaking the other person's mother tongue. And he speaks in the respect realm that we haven't done a good enough job coaching women to understand. And when you use his vocabulary, when you put a vocabulary and a voice to what he's feeling in his mother tongue, he'll respond to you just as a woman will, even if we say, I don't know how to be loving, I don't know how to be respectful, help me. We've already entered into their mother tongue, and watch what happens in their spirit. It's a powerful, beautiful thing, and we're going to explain more at our conference how to do that.
Outstanding. Dr. Emerson Egrich on the phone with us here at ABQ Connect. We're going to be back with more just after these few messages. Stay with us here for more love and respect.
The right window for your home, installed by America's experts with Dreamstyle Windows and Doors featuring Pella. We know that every home is unique, so we offer a wide range of exceptional quality Pella windows and doors with different price options and features. We're here to find the right window for your home. At Dreamstyle Windows and Doors, our job is to make your window and door replacement easy. That's why we handle the entire process, from the initial consultation through our professional installation. Then we back it with Dreamstyle's lifetime warranty. In the month of August only, save $270 on each window, $770 on each patio door, with 12 months no money down, no payments, and no interest, or payments as low as $99 per month. Hurry, this offer is valid this month only. Dreamstyle Windows and Doors featuring Pella. Call 373-0201 or visit DreamStyleWindows.com to schedule your free consultation. That's 373-0201.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be your most trusted, locally owned and operated mortgage company. For years, you've heard me encourage you to shop your mortgage around. Well, the CFPB, which is the governing body for all financial institutions, completed a nationwide survey and concluded that 70% of borrowers did not shop their mortgage. And because of this, they overpaid in fees to the tune of $30 billion. The worst part is, the survey only looked at fees and not what a higher rate would cost over the life of the mortgage. Never assume your lender is offering you the best deal. And remember that big banks and big internet lenders are the worst offenders, no matter if they mention how highly ranked they are. Don't overpay in fees and don't take a higher rate than what you deserve. Shop around and be sure to include your local trusted lender, Indigo Mortgage. Call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
It's time to power up your day with a one-minute focal point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
The familial terms in the Bible like father and brother and sister are spoken to help illustrate the Christian life is one of love and devotion and connectedness to other believers. But it's important to remember that not all the Christian experiences center around the cozy feelings of family room gatherings. The Bible also describes the Christian life with terms like captain, fellow soldiers, master, servants, and athletes. These images transport our minds from the family room to the battlefield, from the harvest fields to the fields of competition. One day we'll be able to relax together in the ultimate family reunion. But for now, we're brothers and sisters fighting the enemy and the sin that so easily entangles us. So as God's family, let us work together to expand the kingdom of God in this broken world.
There is more Bible teaching from Pastor Mike Fabares available on Focal Point, weekdays on your station, or go online to focalpointradio.org.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say.
I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
There's this big trend these days. It's popping up all over the country, and it's people who lie in salt tanks and just float around. Just, you want to go float in the salt tank? And I'm like, no. I actually really, really, really don't want to do that. I think that's actually all too often a perfect picture of the church. We've got this precious gospel message, and we're just rolling around. We're just floating around our little church. Isn't it so great to be saved? I'm telling you something. The way to honor Jesus is to get the salt out of the tank. The way to honor Jesus is to get the salt out into the world. The way to honor God is to get the salt where it's meant to go. Y'all, that's how we can be worth our salt.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect, a special afternoon today with Dr. Emerson Eggerich. He is the author of Love and Respect. He's coming to Albuquerque Friday, September 6th and Saturday, September 7th at Sagebrush Church for the Love and Respect Conference, and he's going to cover all kinds of great things. We hope if you're just joining the show now, you'll go listen to the podcast, which is available on abqconnect.online. That's our website, and this podcast will be available to you after the show. I've got a question, and this really pertains to me. I've been accused by a lady that I'm dating that I am yelling even when I do not raise my voice. Now, she's probably going to be mad when she listens to this, but the truth is that even if I whisper something to her that is in opposition to her thinking, she says, "Why are you yelling at me?" How important is tone, Dr. Eggerich?
Well, tone can be almost the number one thing. There's no question about that. I have a thing on our website, loveandrespect.com, called the 15-day plan. It's 7 emails a person will receive. It's free. And the first issue I address is tone. Hone the tone. But you've got two things going on there. I think there are men who are harsh and angry, like my dad. He had rage issues. And so he didn't see himself until later when he came to Christ. And so I think there's that component that women are going to react to. But then you also have the other side of this, that you're in radio. You've
yes.
got the voice. I mean, and so the question on the table is, are you talking the way you always talk, or is it different? If you're talking the way you always talk, then my humble counsel is that she needs to make a little adjustment, because you're not trying to be harsh with her. You're talking the way you talk to me or anyone on the radio. I can't answer that, but I think the challenge is to kind of meet each other halfway. But understand that she's vulnerable to your tone, and that has to be addressed. At the same time, you know, she needs to give you a little grace here. You're in radio.
I've also noticed in your book that you ask people to frame statements that they make to their spouse. For example, Bert asked you a little earlier about how can a wife ask her husband something without coming across like she's nagging. I think husbands do the same thing. They just don't frame the questions correctly. So even framing the question kind of has something to do with the tone, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's why these rules of engagement are important. I think Bert and Nitra have come to that point where they have not felt uncomfortable saying, at the end of the day, Nitra needs to be assured of Bert's love, and Bert needs to know that she respects who he is in the image of God, even yes. apart from his performance. Because what happens is that we come at each other in ways that can feel unloving. I mean, even Sarah and I were talking yesterday about something, and she was asking a question. I was on the elliptical, and she didn't know I was working out, and she said, "Where are you? Why are you on the elliptical?" And we've talked together about this at our conference, that she can ask me a question, but I feel she's calling me into question, as though somehow I shouldn't have been on the elliptical when her question was asked out of concern about where I was because she didn't know where I was at. These are so subtle, and yet they can end up adversely affecting the next 3 hours all evening by a husband and wife who otherwise have goodwill. So what we have to do is introduce language. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, or I wasn't trying to be unloving. I can see how I came across that way. Can you forgive me? You're an honorable man, or you're a loving woman. I'm not trying to do that. If we're willing to do that rather than pout, and many couples are not always willing to do this because they'd rather pout with the hope the other person will take the initiative and apologize or whatever. But if a person's willing to come to that point and reframe and say, here's where I was coming from, I wasn't intending to do this, can you trust my heart here, they'll be good to go. But it's a little knowledge and a little skill to be able to do that, particularly if we've been doing it other ways. And here's the deal. We kind of expect our spouse to decode our negativity for the last 30 years. It's kind of like we expect them to come running into the house one day. I had an epiphany. What? I now know why for the last 3 decades you've been so negative. Why? To motivate me to be positive. How could I miss it?
I love it.
So true. So true. And like I said, and you said too, it doesn't just happen overnight. These are habits we have built up over so many years, however many years you are. And it's just habits. You got to break those habits by doing something different. And the more we practice this and put these tools to use, the easier it became. And like I said, we've been married 20 some years and we just nailed it this past year where I can truly put my defenses down and he can too, instead of stonewalling and shutting down, because that's what Bert would do, was just shut down, and I would keep pressing it because I wanted to connect and solve the issue. We've come to that agreement where, like, hey, we're getting to that emotional state, that crazy cycle. Let's not go there. Let's really calm down, take a breather, and let's rephrase those questions.
And what I love the most is knowing each other's hearts. You know, like you said, we're not wrong. We're just different. And I have to know, I'm a student for life with Anitra. I have to study her every day because every season has its own, you know, but her heart's never going to change. And I have to understand that she loves me no matter what.
Yes.
That's excellent. But just excellent.
Doctor, I have to ask this question, though. You're obviously directing to a group of people that are kind intentioned and good-willed to one another. But to a certain degree, you're speaking to people that have been having some troubles. Mm-hmm. They've been misinterpreting. They've not been communicating. And how much of this is spiritual in the sense that people don't feel empowered by the Holy Spirit? They don't even have a good self-image about who they are in God. How important is that for them to have their own relationship with God and not depend on the other person?
Well, we address that in the conference. We talk about 3 cycles, the crazy cycle that we've addressed here. There is a cycle called the energizing cycle that you made reference to, how you spell love to a woman, how you spell respect to a man, that can be proactive. And then our last one is the rewarded cycle. What if we are good-willed, but our spouse, for whatever reason, isn't meeting us halfway? It seems like they are not at a point where they want to engage us. And we will address in that last session, how do we deal with a spouse that is less than responsive? But one of the things that I think happens is that we conclude that our spouse does have ill will because they are reacting in a way that we wouldn't. For instance, Nitra and Bert have referred to the fact that 85% of those who stonewall and withdrawal is the husband. And this feels like an act of hostility to the female. This is, the research has pointed out, women feel that's very unloving, very hateful. She could not imagine shutting down. So it'd be very easy for her to consider and conclude that he's got ill will. But the research points out that their heartbeats get to 99 beats per minute. The male does. So he has to calm down physiologically. Mm-hmm. And in our world as men, it's an act of honor. So it raises this question. When he does that, is it an act of honor or is it an act of hostility? It would be very easy for that wife to conclude that her husband doesn't love her when the fact is he's an honorable man. That doesn't mean that withdrawing is justified. It only means that he is good-willed, trying to do what he believes will de-escalate this conflict, and that's the way he functions as a male. On the other side, you have women, this research points out, almost all women criticize and complain. But we know that women do this because they care. It's within their nature to do this. They care. They can't not care. But men are asked, when she does this, what do you feel? It feels like an act of contempt. It feels like she's just using this issue to send me a message that I'm unacceptable to her. So it raised the question, is it an act of contempt or an act of care? It would be very easy for that man to say, my wife does not have goodwill, because he's concluding she's a contemptuous, disrespectful woman, when the truth is she's very loving and caring. So one of the things that we're going to point out at the conference, it's very easy to profile our spouse based on how we believe they should act and react. And this is where we make a major mistake, because it's very honest. We truly feel this other person doesn't care, that they don't have the kind of goodwill that we have, because no wife can imagine just shutting down like that. And no husband can imagine continuing to chase somebody around the house, pointing a finger at him, telling him, talk to me in a commanding way. It's just beyond our comprehension, especially when we appeal to the person to stop this. And then they don't, which reinforces us that they're really not for me. They really don't value me. You see how this gets really confusing then? Mm-hmm. So that's why I believe that most people have goodwill, and those who are listening who are concluding, well, we don't, my invitation is come to the conference.
Yes.
And see if I can show you that your spouse has far more goodwill, but even beyond that, whether or not I can really convince your spouse that you have goodwill.
Me, Dr. Emerson Eggerich on the phone with us here at ABQ Connect. We're going to be back with more right after these messages.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
Think for a moment about the different hats that you wear. Think for a moment about the different hats that you wear, or you might say the roles that you play. For example, I wear a dad hat, I'm a dad. I wear a husband hat, I'm a husband. I'm also a pastor, I'm a leader, I'm a friend, I'm a man, I'm a coach, I'm a mentor, I'm a student, I always want to learn, I'm a counselor, I'm a fellow struggler that doesn't always get it right. I am a Jesus follower. Think about the different hats that you wear. You would have some of mine and some that are very different than mine. Now, this is what's important. When I'm leading or teaching or communicating, I want to make sure that the hats I wear match the purpose of my communication. I want to make sure that the hat that I'm wearing matches the purpose of my communication.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
When life gets messy, theology can get blurry. Skip Heitzig hits us with this hotspot about making the most of a mess.
You see, for people in a mess, for people in a crisis, for people suffering, theology is much more than a sermon or a class or a chapter in a book or a discussion topic. It's a lifeline.
Hotspot. Proper theology is great. Practical theology is better. Better.
We need the kind of truth that will haul us out of the mess and place us into the capable arms of a powerful and loving God.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
as a Christian, you have the power to control your thought life, here described as your heart, and not allow your mind and heart to become overwhelmed by the mess.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig YouTube channel.
If Jesus Christ can do what it takes to get you to heaven, don't you think he can help you in the mess now? You can take care of your life in the mess.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Bert and Anitra Perez, Sacred Marriage Ministry. And we're really glad you joined us this afternoon because Dr. Emerson Eggerich is on the phone with us. He is the author of Love and Respect, coming to Albuquerque September 6th and 7th for the Love and Respect Conference at Sagebrush Church. So you can get signed up for that event by going to loveandrespect.com. And Dr. Eggerich, you're gracious to spend so much time with us this afternoon, and I want to ask you a little bit about your other books, The Four Wills of God, The Way He Directs Your Steps and Frees Us to Direct Our Own, and several others, Cracking the Communication Code. How did you get involved in writing, and is there a progression to all your books?
Well, excellent question. Certainly the Love and Respect brand, HarperCollins is our publisher, and we've been very thoughtful as best we could be how to serve couples. And the language of love and respect, for instance, is kind of the second book to the major book, Love and Respect, and it kind of goes deeper into some of these communication dynamics. We had a lot of mothers write me about how they came to the conference on this respect thing and said, you know, I have a son. And this, I think, might work for my son. And then they began to email me about how they applied the respect language to their boy and how there was a sense of connection with their son. So we wrote the book, Mother, Son, The Respect Effect. And so everything that we've been trying to do over these last so many years is serve families. We wrote the book, Love and Respect in the Family, and I waited until my children were adults. I actually had my PhD in family studies, but I wanted to wait for them to speak back into it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they are actually the three that endorsed this book. And so we are very excited about this content. It's simple, it's male-friendly, and it just works.
When you talk about male-friendly, I mean, what is it about a male that makes it difficult to communicate to him?
Well, it's not difficult to communicate with men at all. Men shut down, though, if they feel they're going to be shamed, judged, mm-hmm. criticized. Mm-hmm. And so men talk all the time with one another. And in fact, research has pointed out men will talk very transparently with each other, but you've got to be my friend. And I got to know that you've got my back and that we yes. both honor each other and we're not going to shame each other and somehow point that finger at each other. So one of the things that we've said all along is there's nowhere in scripture where it says men are indifferent to marriage. It isn't. When I first wrote Love and Respect, the publisher said, you need to write this to women. I said, why? Well, they said, women are the ones that read the marriage books. And I said, did it ever occur to you that they're reading the marriage books because you're telling authors like me to write it to women?
That's true. That's true.
And I said, you let me write this in a biblical, fair, and balanced way, and I believe men will respond. Because I went to a military school from 8th grade to 12th grade. I was going to go to West Point. Military has always been important. Sports have always been important. Yeah, men are talking all the time, but we have an honor code, and we don't violate that honor code. Mm-hmm. But when you speak according to that honor code, you appeal to that sense. Pat Riley had me come speak to the Miami Heat. Tom Coughlin had me come speak to the New York Giants. I've been all over addressing this issue about how men respond to honor and respect. And when you meet that need, they will soften and they will serve. And when you show them contempt and disrespect, you'll have mutiny on your hands. They'll jump ship or throw you overboard.
Yes.
But I believe this, that if you learn this vocabulary of the male, he will talk, he will connect, he will soften and sit down. But when he perceives that you're using this topic as send a message of shaming and dishonoring, he's too frail to that. He's not egotistical. He's not narcissistic. This is a vulnerability that he has in the same way that a woman is very vulnerable to harshness and anger. She cannot respond, for instance, sexually to a husband who's been harsh and angry with her, does not apologize, does not get humble, does not seek forgiveness. Her body, her physiology cannot respond. She's hardwired. Men are hardwired not to respond to what they perceive is contempt for who they are as a human being.
So true, because I am teaching an online course, Dr. Emerson, and I have 600 women on there. And I am seeing the miracles happen because they are changing their tone. They're changing the way they're approaching their husbands. I'm applying kind of, you know, what you're saying in love and respect, there are miracles. It has only been 2 weeks, and I am seeing miracles in marriages because they are not on the defense mode anymore. They are treating their husbands with honor and respect, and their husbands are turning around quickly and opening up and having conversations on road trips. One of the wives was like, my husband could not stop talking to me.
There you go.
And it
exactly.
was just, I got goosebumps now because it's like, we've been taught wrong. We've been modeled wrong. We just kind of got to get out of that uncomfortableness, if that's a word, but just, and go around and say, hey, try this. What you've been doing is insanity cycle. Keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Let's try something different. And they do, and miracles happen. God shows up.
Well, that's excellent. And I think a point of clarification for the woman listening, we're not talking about respecting bad behavior.
No.
Right.
We're
no.
not talking about we're talking about your demeanor, your respectful demeanor toward his spirit. You can communicate almost anything. And the same thing, you know it as a woman, that if a man is loving, he's humble and he's loving, and you can sense he really loves you, he cares, and now he's going to risk saying something, you'll receive it. You'll actually appreciate it. You'll be defensive, but particularly if he says, I'm sorry for how I did this, you'll say, well, I'm sorry too. There is a beauty every woman knows mm-hmm. if she's approached in a certain way. She will melt. She
yes.
will melt.
Yes, she will.
There was a syndicated program where I was being interviewed, and I said, if a man will just say, I'm sorry, honey, will you forgive me? And he's doing so sincerely, every woman will soften. She
yes.
will soften. And the woman who was interviewing me fell on the floor and said, I'm softening right now. She literally just fell forward. The
mm-hmm.
power of this. The same thing holds true. If in our conference, we're going to explain to women that you don't lose power. You're not going to become a doormat. This is learning how to communicate what you need to communicate in a way that he feels is anything but disrespectful, but is
yes.
honoring his deepest heart as you're confronting things that you don't feel are respectable. And the truth is, he doesn't feel that many things he does are respectable, but he doesn't feel that you should jump to show him contempt and disdain for who he is. And we're going to give you the tools at the conference how to do that. And to Nitra's point, it is mind-boggling.
Yes.
But we
yes.
have to say, we're not talking about giving a husband license to do what he wants
no.
and respecting evil behavior. That's ludicrous.
Agree. And that's a question I get too, is, well, what if your husband's abusive? No, that I'm not teaching you these principles for a situation that in that sense. That yeah, your husband has to be good-willed.
Well, but we also have to define abuse, because you've got physical
yes.
abuse, which my dad did, but you've also got women who say, my husband's abusive because he doesn't talk to me.
Right.
And
that,
one of the points we make is, he goes silent if his heart beats at 99 beats per minute. He's not abusive. He's trying to do the honorable thing. Just because it feels unloving to you doesn't mean he, in fact, is unloving. And your sweet daughter-in-law is going to say the same thing about
Amen.
Your precious baby boy. So we need to define terms before we throw words out like that.
Thank you. Thank you for addressing that.
Well, we're going to be back with more with Dr. Emerson Eggerich right after these messages. Stay with us. All about love and respect this afternoon on KNKT.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. In the car care cleaning arena, Flex Service means one-stop everything. From express washing with courtesy vacuuming to our legacy full service and express and high-end details. We simply do it all at one stop. And we're the locals that have been doing it right for 46 years. We invite you to come and wash with us on the west side at our new Car Spa Flex West at 5401 Sevilla and Coors, across from Ginger's. See what you've been missing. Your car will be glad you did.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and he does, but he also maintains those who belong to him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved, and free towing with repairs. Just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. and for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and he is only a breath away. Please call out to him.
If you believe God has called you to lead worship in any musical capacity, we want to see you at our next Battle Drums auditions on August 31st. Battle Drums Worship Ministry is looking for gifted musicians and vocalists who are interested in serving the Lord through their musical giftings and joining the worship community at Calvary Church for all our Calvary campuses. Please go to battledrumsmusic.com for more information and apply now. That's battledrumsmusic.com. The last day to register is August 24th. We hope to see you there.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
The 2019 Star 88 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Star 88 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm/golf.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into our final segment of ABQ Connect this afternoon. If you have not heard the whole show, Dr. Emerson Egrich on the phone with us, Bert and Anitra Perez in studio with me. I'm Jim Williams, and I have to say this is one of my most enjoyable interviews I've ever done, Doctor. I appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Tell us what we can expect at the conference on September 6th.
Oh, excellent question. Friday night and Saturday morning, it's a two-day event, and the couples who will come are going to be seated in the pew, and that's basically all they'll do. Hopefully I'll use a lot of illustrations, a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. It's very male-friendly. Men love it, and women love the fact that men love it. But as I always say, we're not going to hold hands. We're not going to write poetry. It is a presentation that my wife and I make. But during that, we're going to talk about the crazy cycle on Friday night, how we all are on this. And one of the things I like to say to people is that they are not abnormal, and they need to realize this, that I'm going to share with them the research that's out there that we're pretty much all of us are in the same camp. And even though some of us are in betrayal situations, adultery, Focus on the Family sponsored us for several years, and they did a major research piece, spent $50,000 to find out the effects of love and respect on couples. And Jim Daly and I were talking about one of the samplings was of those, interestingly, who came who were divorced. They both of them were divorced, but they came together. We don't know why. Wow. Or there were those who had filed for divorce. So you had those who were divorced showed up and those who filed for divorce showed up. 60% of them remarried or called off the divorce.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's big.
And here's the deal. I don't minimize betrayal. My dad committed adultery. I understand rage issues. I understand these are real issues. The question on the table is whether or not these things happen later in the relationship. And can two people actually go back to the earlier parts of their relationship and realize they got derailed due to, as Nitro was saying earlier, an honest misunderstanding? There was no ill will. They just honestly misunderstood. And if I can take them back to that, and if there's a willingness to forgive, if they're continuing in adultery, all bets off. If there's is evil will, if there's, but if there's been a change, but they're really now feeling like, well, we've damaged the relationship, even though we've repented, even though we've sought each other's forgiveness, so we just, I don't know if we can ever, yes, you can recover. And I want you to come because I'm going to explain to you how you can go back. And it is amazing at what happens. So we've got two people maybe listening. Those of you feeling like, Emerson, we're a lost cause, or my spouse isn't going to come. Well, don't assume that. don't assume that if you're female, if your husband can hear a little bit about what I'm going to present and the humor, he'll probably come. But you've also got those individuals out there who are thinking, well, maybe we don't even need a marriage conference. You know, maybe we're making a statement that we got problems. Look, the greatest golfers in the world have coaches. You're not somehow making a statement that you've got a bad relationship any more than a professional golfer is making a statement that he's a bad golfer because he has a coach. We want you to come to be enriched and refine what you know. So I appeal to those who are in crisis to come, because I'm going to help you, and those who need enrichment, you come. And please consider bringing children who are adults. Bring your parents. Mm-hmm. Think of people beyond yourself. If you've got a great relationship, then guess what? People are watching you, and they want to know why. You bring them to the Love and Respect Conference. And it's important that you reach out here, because you might just be the instrument in someone's relationship totally turning around. And the reason I say that is I wet the bed until I was 11. I went to military school in the 8th grade to 12th grade because of our family problems. If someone had reached out to my mom and dad, I would not have been so wounded. So I appeal to you to think about the little boys and little girls out there like me. Reach out to that mom and dad to come. The least they can do is say no.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I hear you saying also that people that may be engaged to be married are welcome at the conference
as
well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We had 4,000 at Second Baptist of Houston with Ed Young, and 1,000 were singles. They brought.
Wow.
So yes, this is God's game plan. People say, well, what about the people who have never been married? You come because this is God's game plan. Mm-hmm. You know, when I spoke to the New York Giants with Tom Coughlin, he's a strategist, and he and I talked about game plans and how in marriage there's a game plan. And we're going to share with the singles about that. Those who are ready to get married, and even those who don't have someone on the horizon, you come because I think you'll be blessed.
And that's what I love, because it's not just about the wedding. It's about people learning how to be that husband, how to be that wife. So
before
that's great.
Before they get married, yes. And we're a product of that. We both my husband and I experienced infidelity in our marriage, and we didn't have the right tools. We just needed to get back on the right path, and Love and Respect was critical to that for me to realize how I was communicating with my husband, what I was doing wrong. And we were able to meet in the middle, and here we are teaching couples.
And just for me to tell men, you know, it's something that's going to be great to be able not only to understand your wife better, but understand yourself better.
And it's so beautiful. Your marriage can be so beautiful. We are in that empty nesting stage now, and it is incredible. We just love each other so much.
Doctor, I want to point out we reach a really large evangelical audience, a lot of Catholic folks listening to our station throughout the Albuquerque area. So we appreciate all our listeners very much. But one of the things I want to encourage everybody to is that Dr. Egrich has written a book that is actually very biblically documented as well. I mean, scripture throughout. We all know the power of the word and what he has explained in, I think, very simple terms. But every time I say simple, I don't mean easy. This is tough. And Dr. Egrich, my last question really is to ask you, are people ready to put in the work to stay married?
Well, that comes down to the individual couple. Mm-hmm. You know, Sarah, my wife, and I, you know, both come out of families that, you know, struggled, hers in particular, with a lot of divorce. I mean, just a plethora of people who are divorced. And it always comes down to each individual couple. And one of the things she says, it takes work, but what we're sharing with you works.
Yes.
And this is really where we're at. We know that if people are willing to apply these principles, they're simple, they're not complex, there are only a few things we need to know, and if we apply that, it works. I mean, you got to be married to one bad dude or one bad dudess for them not to respond to genuine love and respect. Think about that.
Yes.
If I come across lovingly or respectfully, are they going to be unresponsive if there's any degree of goodwill? So then it raises the question, well, how do you do that when you don't want to, and how do you do that when you feel unloved and disrespected? Well, we're going to answer that at the conference, because we're all right with you on that one.
Yes, come. Everyone
Amen.
Come. Everyone come.
Please do. Dr. Emerson Egrich, he is the author of Love and Respect. He's putting on a conference here Friday, September 6th and Saturday, September 7th to be held at Sagebrush Church, 6440 Coors Boulevard Northwest. You can find out about the conference on loveandrespect.com. I'm assuming, Doctor, that everybody can register. And is there a limit to the number of people that can come? So many seats available?
There's,
there's no limit.
We're going to pile them on the ceiling and in the lawn and everything. All right. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we wish you the best. We'll be praying that the conference goes well and all your other endeavors as well, and we'll be looking forward maybe to having another conversation with you in the near future. So thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Wonderful interview. Outstanding. And Bert, Nitra, let's get that photograph together.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Thank you all for joining us here on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with more right after these messages. Thanks.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.